World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Got to give you a fair warning right up front. The show today might make you sick because we're going to talk about abortion and we're going to show pictures of dead babies and we're going to talk about what's really, really going on. So I just gave you a fair warning. It's going to be a great, great show, but some of you may not have the stomach to do it. I'll give you, before we throw one of those pictures up, why is it to... People are offended by the pictures, but not offended by the murder. That's what, you know, it's kind of, always been kind of a hard one to figure out, you know. But I'm joined. I feel really bad. Mark Harrington, Created Equals, been a friend of mine. Let me tell you a little bit of a story here. Back when I got sued by the American Civil Liberties back in the early, what was that, Mark, 2000? And it was even before that, probably 99. I walked away from teaching and coaching. I started a little show at WRFD in Columbus on Saturday mornings. I did a show and I didn't even really know what I was talking about, just to start out as a sports show. And I met Mark there, and Mark said, look, here's what you got to do, man. He said, if you're going to get in the ministry, you got to go full going and start with a newsletter. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, you got to raise some support, start with a newsletter. And I went over to Mark Harrington's house and he wrote my first newsletter. I didn't even have a mailing list. I didn't even have one. The internet was so different back then. And yep. So Mark said, you got to send out a monthly newsletter because people want to support you, but you got to remind them every month. And that's how Coach Dave Live has survived for all that time. And it came from Mark. And it took me a while to build the base. And a lot of you are out there. And by the way, some of you, how about chinking out $20 a month for me? Would you do that? Would you help us out here by doing that? Mm-hmm. We don't need people out there giving us $10,000. We need a bunch of you giving $20. Some of you in here every day. Come on, give $10. Give $20. So I worry about how you spend it. Well, you give it to the damn government. Don't care how they spend it. That's obvious. Anyway, Mark's really been a mentor to me, and I went on. I was like everybody else. I didn't know what was going on in abortion, and I went on the road with Mark. I went to Ohio State University and held signs. And oh my God, went to overpasses and held signs. And I was cutting my teeth on cutting edge ministry. And I was never the same. Mark took me to Planned Parenthood. He took me to that one up on High Street, whatever the name of that place was. And I don't know if you've picked this up or not. I'm a pretty bold guy to start with. But I said, Mark, I don't know. He says, listen, you just come. And you hold the sign and you just listen and you'll know what to do. And boom. And I would say that to all of you out there right now. In fact, we had a little bit of a meeting last night with some folks here in the queue. I said, man, we got to blow some life back in here. We got to get Coach Dave Live folks active again. How do we know activism works? Are you watching Minneapolis? Yeah. Anybody noticing that the lefties show up? And Mark Harrington, the one who told me, I never forgot this, Mark, that money would be a problem because the left gives to causes and the right gives to their church. I never forgot that. And that is truer today. And some of you, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, some of you are wasting your money giving it to that same dead church that you go every day and they don't do nothing. That's the truth. Okay, so let me jump in here. By the way, this weekend, house to house, this Saturday, 4 o'clock. Can you go to the Liberty Action Network real quick, Spencer? I thought I sent you the link, but I didn't. Mel always does such a great job of it. We're doing a house to house. We're getting together. We're getting together on Saturday. Come and join us from 4 to 7. Mark, we'd love for you to come. Randy's got one going to in Oklahoma. We got one house to house here in Ohio, 4 to 7 p.m. Glenn's kind of organizing the thing, where you want to go. If you, just come. Come. And you're going to meet like-minded people. You'll meet some people. This would be a good opportunity for you to bring somebody who thinks we're crazy. Just bring him and they'll say, well, we're not crazy. Say, well, those are really nice people. Those are really God-fearing people. So that's going on this Saturday from 4 to 7. Now, if you need more information, you can contact Glenn or email me or do whatever. We would love for you to come. Okay? Folks, the Bible says that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. By the way, does anybody see that day approaching? I kind of think I see that day approaching, don't you? Mm-hmm. And so assemble doesn't just mean to huddle on Sunday and go through the rigmarole, raising your hands and singing praise and worship music and then going home and don't know anybody in the church. It means to assemble the parts together. Let's get together here. Okay, now, look, I'm all over the place here. Mark, I want to really feature this. Mark Harrington, Mark, I talked to my daughter. I want my granddaughter to go on a justice ride. Pull up number 7 real quick before we get going on. You talk about activism, folks. Mark Harrington takes young people, inspired by the 1960 freedom rides, he takes busloads of young teenage people, trains them in apologetics on abortion, and takes them to the streets. He's got one coming up this spring, 2/27/26. It's a week. Scroll down a little bit on that, Spencer, if you can. And that's what they do. Training, traveling to college campuses in Florida. We stand alongside victims of abortion. They show the signs. They debate. They teach the young people how to make the argument against abortion. And it's unbelievable. So I want to make sure that we feature this. There are some of you out there whose granddaughter or grandson would really benefit from this. Really, their faith would grow, because we know this, that most young people in particular cannot defend their faith. There's a cost, $390, we're past then, so $500, you could pay for you could scholarship somebody else to go. Just stay there a minute. Right there, Spence, stop scrolling it. Somebody, they're going to go, and they're going to learn how to defend the faith. Mark, I haven't even brought you in here yet. Explain this. Explain what the Justice Ride is.
Well, it was inspired by the Freedom Rides, as you know, from the Civil Rights Movement, which, you know, really gave rise to Created Equal, to be honest with you, because when I named the organization, I was watching Dr. King speak on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and he talked about how he had a dream, right? And that it was the American Creed, he called it. And then he recited the Declaration of Independence, which included the words that we're all created equal. And I thought to myself, whoa, there it is. That's the concept, right? That's what we believe as Americans. That's in scripture, that we're made in the image of God. I said, man, that's got to be it. So I went online to see if that name was available, believe it or not, and it was, createequal.org. I blew my mind. I said, this is it. And so along with the civil rights movement, of course, the Freedom Rides were a turning point where a lot of mostly college students or college age students boarded buses and defied the rules of segregation in the South. And of course, we know the stories of the buses being burned, people being beaten close to death and so forth. But it was a clear turning point. And listening to the testimonies of those who were on the Freedom Rides, it was all about what they called synergy. And that is putting people together in like mind and putting them in together with a battle in front of them. And what happens is, you know how it is, it's the band of brothers. And that was the type of thing that I thought was lacking, that we don't have a vision for young people to get together in like mind with a cause that's bigger than themselves. That's what the Freedom Rides were. And I said, well, let's do something similar, although it's not even close, to be honest with you. These people, their lives were put at risk. But get them together, put them in charter buses, go on the road, and train them. In the bus, out of the bus, in the classroom, on the campus. And, you know, we've been doing it for now almost 14 years. And it is our premier outreach and training program because it combines head knowledge with boots on the ground. I mean, it's seat work. We call it seat work, where you're sitting in a classroom learning with feet work, which is being on the streets. And so that's the best way to learn. And it's been successful ever since. And like I say, if you send your young person to this, they'll be changed for life. So
train up a child in the way they go. When they get old, they won't depart from it. And what Mark does is teaches your grandchild, your daughter, your neighbor's child to defend the pro-life argument. I'm trying to keep in the track here because, see, folks, I'm going to tell you something, including me. How many of you out there have raised a child in a Christian home and then they go to college and you lose them?
Right.
And the reason you lose them is because you never taught them to defend the faith. You just fed them information about the faith and Jesus loves everybody and God's with you and God will heal. But you never gave them the nuts and bolts of why and how to defend it. And that's why this is so powerful. I know people who've spun off. They went on a justice ride with Mark and then they spun off into other activism in the faith. If we don't get the next generation. So there it is, huh? 300, how much, Mark? $500? Is that what we're looking at?
No, 390. Well, I don't know. I mean,
390. And I'll say this. I will sponsor, Coach Dave Live will sponsor the first child out there that somebody calls and says, Coach, I'd love to send my child, but I can't afford it. I'll be glad to sponsor that.
Yeah, and Coach, it is our feeder system too, also. That is, if the people that go on a justice ride, then we pitch the internship, which is an 8-week summer program where they come and they're just immersed in pro-life apologetics and Christian worldview teaching and outreach. And then after that, of course, if they're interested in continuing on, then they do what we call a gap year. That is a 2-semester term with us. They learn how to raise support, and some of them stay after and they actually staff. So that's how we build our organization as well.
Amen. Okay. Let's get into it. Second here, Mark. Let me get into the nitty gritty. I made some notes this morning. I was up pretty early, checking out what was going on. Hey, Mark. Here's the truth. Mark, folks, are you looking at me? Huh? Abortion is not legal in the United States of America. It's not legal. They made it a states' rights issue, and apparently murder is legal in your states. You're allowed to make murder legal. You say, well, why do you call it murder? Well, because you got to kill a baby, right? Doesn't an abortion kill a baby? So we have moved. I was raised Catholic. I've told all of you about that. Mark, we're losing the Catholics in the pro-life fight, are we not? It says right here, Mark, only 6 out of 10 Catholics are pro-life. How'd that happen, Mark?
I mean, the numbers are worse, actually, for evangelicals, born again, you know, Christ-following Christians. I just read yesterday, the Family Research Council came out with a poll that said that American churchgoers, now that's both Catholic and Protestant, okay, in 2022, right before Roe v. Wade was overturned, 63% of them identified as pro-life, okay? Guess where it is today? 43%.
I got it right here. Pull up number
8. 20% decrease in 3 short years.
Six in ten Catholics are in favor. 6 of 10 Catholics. Folks, I'm not picking on the Catholics, okay? But the Catholic Mark in this pro-life movement, the Catholics were at the front of it when it all got started. Were they not, Mark?
Yeah, they still are. I mean, truthfully. But that number is awful. I mean, we've lost 20 percentage points just in 3 years. And then what's that tell you? That tells you when the Roe v. Wade decision was handed down, which, as you say, Coach, didn't do anything to the legality of abortion. Abortion is still not legal. But we've been losing these state ballot initiatives. And so people reason to the conclusion that if something's so-called legal in their state, that it's moral. Yeah. People want to be on the side of that. You know, they want to be in it's the bandwagon phenomenon, if you want to call it that. And so, and there's no teaching in churches. very little, in fact. It's, you know, we're coming up to Sanctity of Life Human Sunday, which is this our Sanctity of Human Life Sunday this Sunday. And, you know, I always bristle against that concept because I think to myself, well, every Sunday is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, right? But this Sunday, and I submit to you, there will be very few churches that will even mention the word abortion this Sunday.
And, of course, Mark, we have the March on Washington. When is that, Mark?
That's next Friday.
Next Friday.
Yeah.
Christians do their one time a year daily duty. They march to Washington, D.C., said, stop abortion, and then that's basically all they do the rest of the year. Would that be true, Mark?
That's about right. I mean, that's what it is. It's an annual pilgrimage for Christians to go and say, hey, look how pro-life you are. And then they go home and do virtually nothing. Most of them, not all, but a lot of them do. And a lot of the young people that are there are bussed in because they get a free day, you know, they get a day off from school. So, as you know, we go there and we can talk about that and why we go there.
Maybe I'll jump in and go. I'll see what I got on my schedule. Okay, Mark. So let's get into it here. Pull up. I'm looking at my chart over here. Number five. Hey, Mark, I would support your ministry if you didn't show those daggone pictures of those dead babies. Mark, why do you show the pictures? By the way, folks, I want you to look at what's on your screen right now. We are created equal. These are young people. These are next generation leaders. That a created equal is training in the apologetics of being pro-life, okay? Now, we know the Supreme Court said there's no right to an abortion, and they kick it to the state of Ohio, and Ohio voted that there is a right to murder. A mother does have a right. Isn't that what they voted, Mark?
Huh? Yeah.
The woman does have a right to murder, and nobody will determine that it's murder. I'll show you a video on that here in a second. Okay, Mark, why the pictures? I'm just going to shut up here for a few minutes and
Anecdotally, I mean, that's how I was converted, right? And when I speak, I ask how the audience, how many people were converted to the pro-life view by an abortion image? And at least half or more will raise their hand.
Seeing the dead baby.
Yep. And so, you know, obviously images have a place in teaching about injustice because you got to see it to believe it. I mean, we're witnessing that very thing up in Minneapolis. Whatever you want to say about that young lady that was killed by the ICE agent, could you imagine if that wasn't on film?
Oh, my goodness.
It wouldn't even be an issue. We wouldn't even be talking about it today. And cameras are everywhere, of course. But so a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? A video is worth 1,000,000 words. It's a data compression device. In other words, it communicates a very complex message at a glance. So you can reach a lot of people quickly just by an image. And graphic images have a way of just embedding in our brains. We can't get rid of them.
And so in other words, Mark, you could talk to me about a naked woman or you could show me a porn picture of her. They don't have the same impact, do they?
No. And social reformers have always used this historically. We could go down every successful social reform movement has used images of injustice to make their point, right? And so we're no different. The pro-life movement should be no different. But we live in a day and age where we want to be nicer than Jesus. We'd rather be liked than effective. So we want people to like us. We don't care as much about being effective. I don't care about being liked. I want to be effective. And if I anger somebody by an abortion image, but they change their mind in doing so, I'll take that trade off.
Okay, so Ray LeBlanc, let me ask you, because I know you do some on the street pictures. What's the reaction up there in Wisconsin when you show up with abortion pictures? Do you get pats on the back there, Ray? Especially for Christians?
Well, yeah, you experience that anywhere you go, coach. And you're going to get some thumbs up and you're going to get some thumbs down. It's, you know, sometimes it's 50-50. Sometimes the numbers are different. It depends where you are. Madison and Milwaukee are very liberal areas. You go there, you're going to get some heat.
Yeah. better wear a helmet, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so say, Mark, help me out here real quick. Take us here on your website, and I want people to see maybe a short video clip of you doing an apologetics with somebody that comes up to the sign. Do you know where we can find one of those, Mark? Because
on the website, no. But if you go to our Facebook page, you can find them there.
Okay, see if you can do that, Spencer, real quickly.
Go to createequal.org and just click on the first one there. We can put them up almost every day. We go to college campuses primarily and display abortion victim photography and video. We use LED screens now, even jumbotrons, really. I mean, they're gigantic LED screens that we roll onto the campus. And, you know, that's the reason. Listen, you got to settle the facts. Is it a baby? And is abortion an act of violence? The only way to do that is visually. So that's the foundation for our discussion. Go ahead and play
that. Mark, so folks, this is that Mark's Facebook.
What do you think about this picture?
And there's all kinds of real quick training on apologetics. And understand this. Jesus didn't lecture. He asked questions. Mm-hmm. And Mark does a great job of that to the pro boards. He simply asks questions and traps.
And this is probably one of our students, but go ahead, or one of our staff members. But go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
What do you think about this picture here? This right here on the sign? Yeah.
Wait, are those babies like chopped up?
Yeah, this baby was ripped apart. So what they do in the second trimester to kill the baby, they go in with forceps and they grab whatever piece they can of the baby. So that may be a leg at first or arm, and they'll grab what they can and they'll twist and rip and pull it off while the baby's still alive. So that's why that baby's torn apart like that.
I don't like it. I got scarred.
You got scarred by seeing that?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. We should be really scarred and really disturbed when we see babies that are ripped apart.
Yeah.
Do you think that abortion is ever okay?
No.
No? Yeah. What about in a situation that's maybe really hard for the woman, like if she's assaulted and she didn't ask for that baby, but now she has a baby? Do you think she'd be justified in that case to kill her baby?
Not really, not much.
No.
It's still a baby. Uh-huh. You've got to take care of
it. Right. Thank you for talking. Have a good day.
It's still a baby, right? Common sense. It's still a baby just because it's not wanted. By the way, Mark, that's one of the tricks that they've told us. They say, really, rape and incest. And Mark, what percentage of abortions are a result, really proven as a result of rape and incest?
1%.
1%. So 99% of all abortions are simply for choice.
Correct. That's exactly right. And yet they'll say, and this is the main argument of the pro-abortion movement, that abortion is health care. You know, health care doesn't kill. Health care heals. And that's always my answer to them. I'll say, well, wait a minute. Healthcare heals. Abortion kills. Abortion's not healthcare. Period.
What, Mark? What would happen, Mark, if some woman's driving down the car? She's pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant. She's driving down the road, and some drunk driver blindsides her at the intersection, and her baby dies. Is that just an abortion? Is that okay?
Or homicide. Vehicular homicide in probably every state in the union.
Homicide. Some guy got drunk, killed a woman in the car, killed the baby in the womb of a woman, and he's charged with homicide, but a doctor gets paid to do it. What do you think about that, Dr. Paul? What do you think about that? What do they teach in medical school, Dr. Paul, about a fetus, about abortion? What's the argument they make?
The argument is C.S. Lewis. It's all a big distraction. They start with a course called embryology. Right. And it never in that course where they're talking about, you know, the gametes, the reproduction of a baby once they're conceived. Right. They never mention humanity in this. They just use like cells or, you know, the clump of cells stuff. And these brilliant, wonderful, smart, intelligent doctors, narcissists, they buy it up like it's their next paycheck, Coach. I'm sorry, I despise these people.
come on in, Martin.
Hey, good morning, Coach. What an awesome guest you have today, sir. Thank you for bringing
this.
Yeah, thanks for bringing this back to our attention. Sometimes the news cycle gets us away from things that are really important, Coach. So thank you for directing us back to saving babies' lives. I just want to ask our guest here, has he ever heard, and I posted it in the chat, Coach Dave, has he ever heard of a organization out of Texas named Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn? And the information, guys, is in the chat. Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn. And thanks, Coach.
Yeah. What about Sanctuary Cities, Mark? Because I know that you are involved in that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I know the leader, Mark Lee Dixon. I know him personally. He's a good friend of mine. So, in fact, we had him come to Ohio, and we passed two ordinances to make, I forget what cities they are now. Maybe Mason, Ohio was one.
It was Lebanon.
Lebanon was the other, right.
Yes,
so, and then Roe v. Wade was overturned. That kind of changed things a little bit. But he's very active in Texas, I know. I don't know how many cities he's up to now. I think it's well over 100. But the idea here is if you can get, because listen, we have sanctuary cities for illegals. And they're not even passing an ordinance. They're just ignoring federal and state law. Right. But this is actually where an ordinance would be passed by city council to say we are not going to allow abortion in our city. It's another great strategy.
So the reality of it is, Mark, in Roe versus Wade, we couldn't remember when they told us the constitutional right, and then Roe versus Wade was overturned, and they said, well, there's really no constitutional right. It's a state's rights issue. And then here in Ohio, Ohioans voted to kill babies. How the hell does that happen, Mark?
Well, it's a mystery because we are supposedly a red state. We're a conservative state. Trump carried the state by 8 points two times. So we figured, well, hey, we got this. Unfortunately, we were no better than Michigan, which is a blue state with a blue governor, a blue legislature. 57-43, we lost. It really comes down to this, Coach, and that is we maybe, over the last 20 or 30 years, we've been winning some political races. That is, we've been putting our right people in office here and there. We won the presidency and so forth, but the culture has been moving in another direction. And Ohio was moving in another direction. We didn't know it until we took a vote. And the other side pumped over $50 million into the state and just filled us with propaganda and lies about how women were going to die and all this stuff. So it was an uphill battle from the start. But the bottom line is the reason why we lost is because we weren't doing the work of changing hearts and minds prior
It's because the church didn't give a shit. That's what it was about, right?
Yeah.
They didn't really care.
They didn't care. And folks, and they hadn't been doing the work. I mean, they had not been doing the work for the decades past. We paid for it on that day.
Mark, you taught me a term that has always stuck with me. Many Christians are pro-life with exceptions, right? Pro-life. They're pro-life. They're against abortion unless their daughter gets pregnant. And now all of a sudden, right? Isn't that where most Christians are?
Yeah, I met one the other day on a college campus. She called herself pro-life causal. Pro-life causal. And I think it came down to this, and that is these Christians who have young daughters or teenage daughters, push comes to shove, they'd want her to get an abortion. And that's how they vote.
Amen. They don't want to mess up her life. Okay, let me show you something. Got a couple guys who want to get in, but just bear with me a second, Paul. I'll get you in. I got to show you this is, folks, what's the mantra they tell us about medicine? Hey, Paul, trust the medicine, right? Trust the experts. Trust your doctor. Anybody, right? Everybody agrees with that, right? Okay, I want you to look at this. Pull up number four. And this is a hearing. I want you to see how far things have fallen. This is, can men get pregnant? I just saw this just the other day. This
unbelievable.
Is 4 minutes long. This is a Dr. Verma, an expert. Watch 4 minutes of this. It's, folks, this shows you why we're in the mess we're in, right? They don't have the mind of Christ anymore. They can't even think. They can't even reason. trust the doctors, right? Trust Dr. Verma. This is about 4 minutes, but it's worth it. Go ahead.
Bring it up. Why don't we just start there? Dr. Verma, I wasn't sure I understood your answer to Senator Moody a moment ago. Do you think that men can get pregnant?
I hesitated there because I wasn't sure where the conversation was going or what the goal was. I mean, I do take care of patients with different identities. I take care of many women. I take care of people with different identities. And so that's where I paused. I think, I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Well, the goal is just the truth. So can men get pregnant?
Again, the reason I paused there is I'm not really sure what the goal of the question.
The goal is just to establish a biological reality. You just said a moment ago that science and evidence should control, not politics. Absolutely. So let's just test that proposition. Can men get pregnant?
I take care of people with many identities, but
Can men get pregnant? Many women
that can get pregnant. I do take care of people that don't identify as women.
Can men get pregnant?
This is a doctor.
Again, as I'm saying,
let me just remind you what you testified to a moment ago. Science and evidence should control, not politics. Absolutely. So, can men get pregnant? You're a doctor, I think.
Science and evidence should guide medicine.
Do science and evidence tell us that men can get pregnant? Biological men, can they get pregnant?
I also think yes/no questions like this are a political tool.
No, yes/no questions are about the truth, doctor. Let's not make a mockery of this proceeding. This is about science and evidence, and I'm asking you. You know, the United States Supreme Court just heard arguments yesterday at great length on this question. This is not a hypothetical question. This is not theoretical. It affects real people in their real lives. And you're here as an expert, called by the other side as an expert, and you've been telling us that you follow, right, you're a doctor, and you follow the science and the evidence. So I just want to know, based on the science, can men get pregnant? That's a yes or no question. It really is, I think.
I think you're trying to reduce the complexity of a lot.
I'm not. I'm trying to get, it's not complex. I'm trying to get to an answer, and I'm trying to test, frankly, your veracity as a medical professional and as a scientist. Can men get pregnant?
I think you're also conflating
this
male and female with...
No, I'm not conflating male and female. They're two different things. There's biological men.
This is what we're up against. This is what we are dealing with. I'm sorry.
Wow.
It's pretty demonic, isn't it? It's pretty demonic.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, wow is right. Okay, I'm sorry. I've been dominating a lot, and I want to get Mark back in here, but I know Dr. Paul has got a good question, and then Jeff Klein. Go ahead, Doc.
I'm sorry, Coach. Yeah, so when I was... And originally in the military, before I became a doc, I worked in surgery. And one of the ways they do this, and we all pay taxes for this, by the way, right? We all use doctors, and doctors are the only reason abortions are even present in this country, okay? They used to do DNCs. I had no idea what a DNC is. It's dilation and curettage. I'm this punk kid. I'm in there helping out the surgeon, and they're pulling out these things. And I'm looking at them, and they're little baby parts, right? And I'm irate. I walk out of that place, and of course, you know, you're in the military, and you don't do your duty. This is where we're at, Coach, right? This is a young kid, me. And from that point on, I realized with all the betrayals in my life, whether it's a Catholic priest or it's the medical community, you just learn to realize something. You've got to be always in prayer, always in prayer, Coach. I'm going to tell you this. Look at the numbers, Coach. Billions upon billions of babies have never been allowed to live in this. 2.5 billion since 1973. 2.5 billion since 1973. Babies have not been born in this world. And this doesn't include birth control, in vitro fertilization, all this other happy stuff.
Paid for and, by the government, I might add. Paid for.
Yes,
by
it
the
is,
government.
Coach. Look at the money that goes to medical schools to support this. Coach, when I was in medical school, we had a group of women that couldn't spell their name, but they were allowed to get into medical school and keep taking the courses till they passed them, because when they would graduate, their job was to kill babies. I want you to think about that, Coach. When you go see your doctor, you ask him that, right?
Amen.
And you know what? Every single idiot out there that supports abortion also gets a COVID shot. And it certainly feels that way to me.
Trust the doctor. Trust the doctor. Hey, Mark, before I'll get Jeff in or James, just a second. Hey, Mark, what about the spiritual aspect of this? Do you think this is demonic? Is this truly child sacrifice? What do you think, Mark?
Well, absolutely. If you look at the Old Testament, they sacrificed their babies to Molech. We do that. There isn't some golden statue or some idol that we do it to, but we do it to self. We do it to our career or our future or whatever else is our idol. So it definitely is child sacrifice and should be in that context. I did want to mention something, though. 64% of all abortions are done by chemical abortion now.
Oh, boy.
The women aren't going to clinics. They aren't going to the buildings and such. They are just ordering the pills over online, and they're killing their babies in their bathrooms. So the whole idea of the physician, the doctor, they're cut out of the equation nowadays, almost 6 out of 10.
Why are we having such a hard time defunding Planned Parenthood, Mark?
Yeah, good question. By the way, did you see Trump just put back in millions of dollars to help with them?
I did.
Can't believe it. How many years we've been working to defund Planned Parenthood? We did it partially. It's not completely defunded. And our pro-life president ended up putting back in money that they've been losing. I don't know. I think Planned Parenthood, despite all of its negative publicity, still has a very high favorable rate, at least in public opinion. People think of them as a beneficent, healthcare provider or something.
Right.
So, I mean, they have all the propaganda behind them.
Mark, I'm on your website, so Spencer can get on it. Maybe, Mark, where could we find a video of one of your students doing a debate on the streets? Because ultimately, isn't that what you want to do?
Yeah, well, that's what you saw there. I mean, that was one of our staff. He was a student.
That was one of your staff. Okay.
But most of the videos are our staff who are young people. They're just not students in college.
Gotcha. All right. Come on, Jeff Klein, come on in.
Well, good to hear from you, Mark. It's been a while since we've seen you. You're talking about the signs. Well, it kind of had a reverse effect here. I had probably 8 or 10 of your signs still left over at my car lot here in Mount Vernon. I shut down September 30th, so guess where I put them? With Pastor Bill Dunphy. He called me a couple weeks ago. He said, JC, thinking about getting back to the abortion clinics now that my prison sentence is over and the January 6th stuff. So he said, I'll keep you updated, and if you want to go along, I'll let you know. So just to let you know, Pastor Bill's probably – you're probably going to be seeing me, and you might want to get –
Amen.
Yeah. But, here's a little story. When we started many years ago, the Clintonville abortion clinic.
Yeah.
Remember, we're up there north of Ohio State campus.
Yep.
It was a Saturday, and Coach, you'll like this. You remember this one. It was a Saturday. It was noon time. It was noon on Saturday or somewhere around that. Everybody going down to the Buckeyes game. Oh, they're all fired up Saturday. People were just cheering for the Buckeyes out the window, and Coach says, what can I do to get these people's attention? He stood on that street corner. He said, I got it. He said, listen, they'd stop at the red light. They're killing future Buckeyes in here. And then the people were irate. I'm like, Coach, how did you come up with that one? Killing future Buckeyes. Good to see you.
As in my younger days, that's for sure, man. Amen. Hey, James, I'll get right with you. Spencer, play this video. These are all on Mark's Facebook page, folks. And these are young people engaging with idiots. Go ahead and play that one.
Yeah.
Watch this video. What do you think about that?
Looks like steak tartare.
Steak tartare.
Yeah,
so
it looks like.
Have you ever heard of the YOLO cost? series of people who laughed and took funny photos in front of memorials where Jewish people died. And a guy took their photos and superimposed their laughing faces in front of real dead Jewish bodies to show how they were mocking death. When you look at a dead person, say it looks like steak tartare, you're doing the same thing, mocking death.
I don't know.
I mean, look, you're seeing a human right there who is torn to pieces, and you say it looks like steak.
That looks like raw meat is what it looks like. That's what I'm saying, because steak tartare is basically raw beef.
Okay, what kind of meat is it, though?
Human meat.
Okay.
You're talking genetically. Yeah, it's human.
Right. So we have human...
Developmentally, it's not a human as we know it.
What do you mean?
I don't...
This was a living organism.
Yeah, it was, and now it's not.
Right. So what kind of organism was that before she was killed?
It was a human, technically.
Watch this video.
Okay, hey Mark, take us through that. Take us through. Is it SLED, Mark? Is that what you use? Share that with people. One of the best arguments that you can ever use out on the streets. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, there are only four differences between a preborn child and a born child. The first is size; they're just smaller. Level of development, obviously not as developed. They live in a different environment, that is, the womb of their mom. And a degree of dependency. They're dependent on their mothers. That's the difference. Those are all indications of their age. They're just younger. That's it. And so every argument for abortion can be put in one of those four categories that make up SLED: size, level development, environment, or dependency. And that's the only distinguishing factors between a preborn child and a born child. We call it trotting out the toddler. The way to win the abortion debate is just compare them to born children and ask the question, would you do that to a born child? Their answer will be no. Every time, no.
You wouldn't kill a five-year-old because you have to cook food for him every day. You wouldn't kill a five-year-old because you have to take him to school and buy him school supplies, right? So the fact that it's inconvenient does not dehumanize the child. But we've bought into all that, haven't we, Mark? Rape, incest, health of the mother, all those exceptions. And I've heard you say many times, okay, look, we'll agree on that. We'll agree that abortion would be legal, rape, incest, health of the mom, we agree with that. Will you agree with us on all the other ones? And they never agree, do they, Mark?
No, they don't. They use those as extreme examples to try to paint you in a corner. But you have to answer them. I mean, you have to make the case against rape and incest as a means, as a reason for abortion, too, because it doesn't change the humanity of the unborn. But they use it generally as a smokescreen to make you look extreme and cold-hearted.
Yep. That's right. You don't care about that woman. That poor woman was raped. I care about her a lot, but we could murder her baby and then she wouldn't be unraped, would she, Mark? Would killing the baby make her unraped?
Not at all. It doesn't do a thing to help her at all. Now she's got the memory of the abortion on top of the memory of the rape itself. So it only worsens things.
Yeah, man. Folks, we're so freaking stupid. So stupid. And then Mark, sadly, I'll get you, James. I promise. Mark, I'll get to you. And Mark, then for the most part, probably in this song, people listening to us right now, there are women who were never healed from that experience. Never healed.
You know why? Because it's never brought up in church.
Never brought up in church.
Why? The reason why is because pastors are so afraid that if they bring this topic up, they're going to have women come into their office wanting counseling. So women live in the darkness, men live in the darkness in the church because this is communicated as the unforgivable sin. It's something you can't confess.
Unmentionable. Not only unforgivable, unmentionable, right?
Yep. And a good friend of mine once said, the reason why abortion isn't preached in churches is because either the gospel isn't good enough or abortion isn't bad as we think it is.
Wow.
And that is profound, isn't it?
It is. James Thomas. Come on, James.
I think we've heard this in this huddle. Seated the serpent, seated woman.
Yes, sir.
You know, it is the attack. So you go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh killed babies 2 years and under. You go to Herod, did the same thing. You know, we're kind of living in a season of murdering babies. If this doesn't grieve the heart of a believer, then I think you need to check your believer meter. It's just, this just really, it grieves my spirit. Now, I got a question for this brother, but I support the Cherubim Initiative, a Catholic brother and sister in Albuquerque, and they do mommy bags, and you won't believe that when she sends out a report that someone turned away from killing their baby, the rejoicing that takes place.
Amen.
It's just amazing. And you know, I guess for this brother, how can we, since now it's everything is doing chemical, I know it's killing a lot of people, a lot of women who do this at home. I mean, it's really damaging people. Through your group, I mean, billboards are really important. I think billboards, if people see billboards, I don't know.
So, James, let me jump in here real quick, because one of the things we used to do, which we're going to start doing again, I got a bunch of the signs, and we're going to go back on the overpasses. We're going to be out on the streets again, show people the pictures. That's the only thing that changes their heart, isn't it, Mark?
It is. And I've got a quick story here. Pill abortions, right? People say, hey, you know, we have images of pill abortions now, chemical abortions. Where do we get them? Get this. Because women are posting them online. That's where we're getting them. On private Facebook pages, chat rooms, and so forth. We've gathered hundreds of these images now because women are killing their babies in their house. They're taking their phone out, taking a picture, and putting it on Facebook or what have you, saying, and celebrating their abortions. That's where we're getting these images. And we've made signs out of them now, which we need to, because 6 out of 10 women to abort are doing it through a pill abortion or a chemical abortion.
Oh boy. Mark Trump.
Yeah, I was just listening to Doc Johnson's description of them pulling the parts out. What if there is a play and you had this bratty kid and the mother was telling the bratty kid, I didn't even want to have you, but I did. And then all of a sudden the doctor comes in with his stethoscope and a great big giant pair of tongs and grabs the live son by the arm and starts to pull his arm off. That's what's going on. How many women don't want their children? They give them away. You know, this is sickening, but putting it in their face is what we got to do. And I know I changed, Mark, when I came out with y'all the first time in Columbus. I mean, Coach, he's got to do more of this to get more people out. And really, it's not you. It's us. We got to bring people, Coach. We got to bring more people. Amen. Mark, thanks, Mark.
So, Mark, when you get back from your justice ride, let's organize an event in Columbus. We'll stir these guys up. They'll come. Some of these people have never done it. They've never done it and seen what the reaction is, whether it be at the state house, whether it be at the abortion clinic, whatever. Hey, folks, activism matters. Can you look at Minnesota? It matters. Why is the left in the streets and the church? People are in the church. And Mark, I used your quote yesterday. I think it was yesterday. You taught me this 20 years ago, that Christians give to their churches and the left gives to causes.
That's right. That's for sure. Christians give to their churches and their children. And don't get me wrong, I want to leave an inheritance financially, but more than that, spiritually, of course. But and the reason is, Coach, the left, who are godless, don't have anything beyond the here and now. This is their God. This is their religion. So they give to that. We give to churches, which we, you know, obviously, if you go to a church, you probably should tithe. But we should be giving to ministries as well, not just to our children. And we just don't. And we should. We don't.
Well, yeah. we've been what's the word? Browbeaten that you got to tithe all of it to the storehouse, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not. There are a lot of storehouses. It just says in your church, there are a lot of storehouses. If you believe in tithing, then divide your tithe up in 5 different places. If that's what you want to do to advance the kingdom of God. Lauren, come on in.
Good morning. Well,
Yount, if you know me, you know what I'm about to talk about.
Yep.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
I am post-abortive. And as a woman being able to speak on this, who had an instrumental evacuation abortion, I've gone through a lot, and I have spoken in front of thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people about this, and given my testimony and shared it. There needs to be an element of hope for women and being able to not, and especially in the church, that you're not just, you're forgiven, but the shame, the guilt, and the condemnation that you get out every single day, because the consequences of it doesn't go away. It shows up in different areas. And I think if there's more support in that lane, it would help other women to be able to heal, because we're told there's no grieving process. There's no being able to, you know, have somebody walk with you through it. I mean, I've done it, but being able to let people know that you are forgiven, that instrumental evacuation that you had or whatever you did, or the, you know, the morning after pill that has high doses of methotrexate in it, and it's going to really damage your body. It's not just a limit. It's not like removing your period.
Let me throw this in here real quick. I interrupt for a living. If it's just a medical procedure, why don't women grieve over appendicitis, having their appendix removed, or they had to had their cartilage removed from their knee? Why don't we grieve over that if it's just a medical experience? So a woman goes in, somebody tells her, you know, it's just a blob of tissue. She goes in there, she has the process done to her, and somewhere down the line she realizes she killed her child.
Exactly. She knows that, coach, though, when she's in there.
Yes, she
and
does.
I call it, yeah, lambs led to the slaughter in blue surgery gowns. Yeah. You know, your womb becomes a tomb. That's what I've coined it. Your womb becomes a tomb. You're standing there and you know it. And the doctor sat there and just said it was just it was like removing your appendix. And that's how it's explained to you.
Yeah, trust the doctor.
And we have to understand, the woman is scared. She's terrified. But she doesn't know how to wrap her head around it. And then when you hear all the other propaganda shoved down your throat before you even get there, like, how are you supposed to support a baby? You can't support yourself. What are you going to do? Right. Yeah. I mean, I heard all of it right before I had my abortion, and I had a back history. My mom was dating a priest. My dad was wacko. My brother was in prison. I had nobody to talk to, nobody to turn to. I was a good Catholic girl, right? How was I supposed to go back, talk to a priest and go, hey, can you help me? And I was terrified, and I didn't want to do it, coach.
Yep.
Amen. So I'm giving another voice to the voiceless. And there are these wackadoodle chicks that are out there that think, you know, like it's like having, you know, it's like eating popcorn by having abortions and posting the satanic rituals online.
I get it. I want to move on. Look, folks, listen to me. Hurt people. All right. So people who've had abortions are hurting, and misery loves company.
That's right.
And right, Mark? And they validate their abortion by encouraging others to join.
Absolutely true.
Unbelievable. Adam, come on in quickly. We got about 7 minutes here, Mark, and then we have a bit of an after show.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just tell people nowadays, it's not a theological issue, it's a moral issue. And if you claim to be a Christian and you support abortion, then I'm sorry, you're not Christian. I don't care if you go to church. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how much you study your Bible. If you support the murder of babies, there's no way you can be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's what I tell people, but it gets me yelled at quite often.
You are an accessory to a crime, right? I see it.
Well, it's a small caveat. You can get saved and not be pro-life, right? Yeah. But you can't stay that way. Unless, I mean, and here it goes back to the churches and the pastors. You know, you can sit in a pew and be pro-choice in our churches today because you don't hear the word abortion. So it's not all on them, but not for long, because the Holy Spirit will convict you of your. And here's the thing. Everybody knows it's murder, really. Come on.
Everybody knows. I mean,
they just do. They just come up with these coping mechanisms and these, you know, gymnastics on how to defend it and all this. It's murder, and everybody really knows it. I mean, truthfully.
Amen. So, Mark, here's one of our theories, and people who listen know that I bang on the local church a lot. I mean, there are a lot of good pastors out there, but folks, at the end of the day, it's all local. It's all local church. And here's what's going on, whether you realize it or not. Pastors will not talk about abortion because women run the family. Oh. If the wife said, I just don't feel comfortable anymore, the dad's not going to have any trouble changing churches. And so the pastor knows that if he pleases the mom, he probably keeps the family. What do you think about that, Mark? Would you believe that to be true?
I think that's true. Yeah, I think that's true. Men haven't been given roles in the church. I mean, we want wars. We want battles. We want to slay giants. We don't want to just, you know, be leading or being part of the prayer meeting. I mean, it's fine. Don't get me wrong. All that's good. But we got to give it. We need a cause. We need a battle to be part of. And we're
okay,
just
so Mark, we're running out of time. Mark, explain this dynamic, because I've been with you. And you show up at the abortion clinic with your signs, graphic signs. By the way, that's where they're killing the babies. So he shows up with his signs. And Mark, a lot of times you run into, I'm not making fun of Catholics, but the Catholics hate the signs. So not the Catholics. I don't mean it that way. The Catholics who are at the abortion clinic hate the signs. Is that true, Mark?
Yeah, more than evangelicals do, yes.
Why is that, you think, folks? Why is that? Why would the Catholics care to know? I'm not bashing on Catholics. They come out there, they pray the rosary, all that stuff, but they are offended by the signs. Why are they offended by what they're there to fight against? Get a theory on that, Mark?
Well, not all, but most Catholics don't have the Holy Spirit. They're not believers. They don't, and they're not bold for their faith. I mean, evangelicals by the name should be evangelical, meaning you're out in the streets pressing the faith out there, and they're just not that way. You know? They'll pray their rosaries quietly and whisper a few words to the women going inside. But for the most part, they're not as, bold and courageous in their faith as evangelical Christians are.
Are supposed to be anyway, huh? Hey, two minutes left here. Hey, Mark, make a pitch again. Number one, make a pitch for financial support at Created Equal. But number two, promote again the Justice Ride. I think, folks, I think some of you have children out there who might really, really benefit from the Justice Ride. It's teenagers together learning to fellowship together and defend Christianity together. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, so the Justice Ride, send your child, grandchild to us for a week, and they'll come back changed forever. We have a scholarship program. If you want to give, what is it, $400, we'll put someone on the bus for free. So that's our premier project. It's coming up in March. We're going to Washington, D.C. next week. We'll be at Georgetown University on Thursday. That means we'll be on the campus of Georgetown. You can imagine what that'll be like. And then we'll be on in front of the U.S. Capitol with our Jumbotron TV for the march, but also just for everybody in D.C. to see what abortion is. So that's next week. So we, you know, help us out if you can. CreatedEqual.org is the website. And Coach, follow me on social media, Facebook, Instagram. If you like the conversations that you're seeing there, there's one every day of me talking to a student. One every single day is posted, thanks to Spencer and his team. They create them and they post them, and they're all over on my website and on my Facebook, on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. So follow me on those social media platforms.
CreatedEqual.org. Folks, we got to get the next generation. We got to get the next generation, and we got to give them the truth. And that's what Mark's been doing. Mark, appreciate you coming. You know, we do a little after show here, so you can hang in there with us. And just honored to know you, and honored to just be able to support what it is.
I appreciate you, Coach. And I remember you were talking about how we met. And I'm not sure if you remember this, but I was hosting a program with WCVO. Didn't even know you. You were sued by the ACLU, and I brought you on the program. And I said, I got to meet this guy. Wow. And we've been friends ever since.
It's destiny, isn't it? That's destiny.
Yeah.
God bless you, folks. See you tomorrow.